Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I'm your host, Xavier, sitting here with the wonderful, the beautiful Deanna. What's up, D?
What's up with you? What's up?
You know, I'm feeling good, feeling marvelous today. And today, this is another special episode. Oh my God, my boy. Ever since I came to Dallas, we've been linked up and we've been kicking it. Look at Deanna to my sister. And y'all might know him. Like, he was on episode 120, and we said we was going to bring him back later down the line. But since we here, we in Dallas, I'm like, why not do it earlier? So today, he's here. Like I said, he was on episode 120. Y'all may know him. His name is Tay, a.k.a. Tay on Tech. Welcome to the show, bro. What's good?
Man, what's up? What's up? Glad to be back on here.
Hey, see, a lot of things changed.
Yeah, since, like, a lot.
You know what I'm saying? You got the McLaren. We in the studio.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that have changed over, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
3 months.
Yeah. A lot of changes for the better.
Yeah, changes for the better.
Yeah, and it's crazy how fast everything changed as well, too. Like, yeah. It just, like, I guess you don't really, like, just kind of keep track of stuff when you just kind of working. Everything just, like,
moving,
it just moves like very fast. Yeah. And I mean, hey, I'm starting to see everything, starting to see results even more. Oh. So I'm just kind of glad.
Oh, I know.
Take me humble.
But we got time. We're gonna get into it. But before we get on to this, I want to go into our first sponsor. So this episode is sponsored by My Official Crypto Guide. That's at www.guide2crypto.com. And in this guide, I go over all the things that I've been through, all things I learned over my 4 years investing in crypto. I go over paying taxes, coins that I think people should be investing in, platforms people should be using, and so much more. And once again, it's at guide2crypto.com. It's only $1.99. So get it today if you're ready and interested in getting started in crypto.
Yes,
so
sir.
Back to my boy Tay, man, who's been doing amazing things. Even just since the last time we spoke, he had a new gig now. All this stuff, man. But first, I want to go here because this is something that like, if y'all been in tune with Tay, y'all know he's doing like big and dope things. I know a question that always comes up, and it's probably safe to say that you probably make more money from outside of your job than with your job right now.
Yeah.
So like, the question I want to propose is like, so why? I know you get this question all the time. Why haven't you left?
Man, it's just like, for one, I love what I do. So it's like, when you love something that you do, you don't necessarily look at it as a job or anything like that. Like, I genuinely love breaking the cybersecurity. I genuinely love breaking the tech industry. And then like the perks and just everything that I get, I'd be dumb to give it up. Like,
right. You're right.
I get 401k matches. Like, I get stock. I mean, you've seen the stock that I got.
Crazy.
So, like, to give that up, then my salary just base-wise, like, it's great. So, it's like, why not, you know, kind of keep using that to, like, funnel and channel into my businesses and things like that. Like, I don't even have to use my 9-to-5 money. Like, I don't touch it at all. It goes directly to my businesses and investments. So, it's, yeah. So, it's like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, you make enough money, you should be able to pay for your own healthcare. Well, my job gives me free healthcare. I don't have to pay for that at all. And a lot of people say they're not giving you free healthcare. No, yes, I am. It don't come on my check. It don't do nothing. It's directly free. Like my health, dental, vision, all of it's free.
That shit is crazy.
So yeah, I'd be a fool to give that up.
No, you really will be a fool to give that up. Cause it's like, well, what I love about your story is like a lot of times we in the time zone right now where everybody is just focused on entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs a business, and in my opinion, I don't think everybody needs a business. I think everybody needs to be investing. Mm-hmm. I don't think everybody needs to have a. What are you looking at me like that? I don't think everybody needs to have a business. I think most importantly, I think people should focus on acquiring high earning skill sets, mm-hmm. and that's something that you did as a security engineer. You went after a high paying skill sets and still able to maneuver and make money and do things as if you don't have a 9-to-5, yeah. which is fucking crazy for real. It's crazy for real. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. When do you think, and Deanna, you can answer this because you've been through this as well. Like, when do you think, or when will you know, is it time to leave? Or will you ever leave? You might not want to leave. Ever leave.
All right. So actually with the reason why I left my last company, they actually almost gave me the reason to go completely entrepreneur.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just like I was having to deal with so much stuff. Like, I'm in real estate as well, too. Got a couple of rental properties. Then I got my Get Me in Tech. And then I also was trading stocks and stuff like that. So with the company that I was working with, it was like an investment firm, financial services, whatever you want to call it. And so they have to actually manage your stock portfolio. And like you can't buy, you can't sell stocks, you can't do anything unless they say, hey, like, get this approved first, and you know, we're going to let you know if it's okay for you to buy this stock or to sell this stock. And so at the time, this is like the height when like the stock market was just going crazy. And like I'm over here still trading. Like I was still trading. I was like, man, I'm still gonna do me. What y'all gonna do? You gonna fire me? Okay, cool. So that's the thing. So like I think the third week while I was working there, compliance and HR called me into a meeting. In my head, I'm like, I'm not really thinking nothing of it. I'm just like, oh, okay, HR, I'm a new hire. They're probably going to ask me for a survey. How was, you know, everything going on? And so that was like, hey, so I just kind of came across some things on your website, on your Town Tech website, and we saw that you was doing like consultations. You were talking about, like in my bio of my website, it was just talking about me, like, you know, helping bridge the gap between millennials and minorities into the tech industry and financial literacy. And as soon as they, like, those, like, the two keywords, financial literacy and, like, the bridge between tech and, like, minorities, mm-hmm. things like that, they saw that. They was like, yeah, we can't allow you to do that because at this point you consider what's called a covered employee. And I get, like, with the stock portion of it, I really got it because I have access to everybody's emails, investment right. bankers. Like if I wanted to pull the CEO email, I could pull his emails. So I got that portion of it. But like me kind of talking about the tech stuff and the real estate stuff, like it was, I don't understand why I have to get approved to talk about this type of stuff. And so at one point, they actually denied the tech business. They was like, no, we don't want you doing, like, you can't do that at all. And at the time, that's when I was getting ready to like release my course, and I was also still talking about stocks. I was still like talking about all that stuff, but then for a minute, I had to stop talking about everything, like in all, because that was mostly like, if we see this again, then you know we can probably terminate you, fire you, whatever the case may be. And at that point, I was like, all right, is it really worth it? All right, I can just probably make a little money here and there until they catch on to it and actually fire me.
Damn.
And so they called me into the office again because I was still buying AT&T stock. So apparently we had some type of business with AT&T and I wasn't allowed to buy the AT&T stock. So yeah, so they called me again to another compliance meeting, and I was like, hey, so we see that you're still buying AT&T stock and we just noticed that you even have AT&T stock. We're going to have to sell all of that. I was like, no, first off, she used the term cancel. She was like, we're going to have to cancel the trade. So I was like, when you say cancel, are you talking about like the profits that I made from this? Like, I'm not going to get the profits. Like, what do you mean by cancel? Do you mean sale? Like, what are you talking about? And I was like, man, for that, I can just go in and go sell it myself. She was like, no, we're going to have to do it. And I'm like, okay, can you guys tell me why I can't hold this stock? That was like, well, we have some business with them, so that's all I can tell you. I'm like, so I'm not even aware of the business that we have going on. Like, I don't have access to it. in a sense, I do have access to it, but I'm not directly involved with it.
Right.
Why is this kind of like, you know, and why am I being punished for it, for that? Yeah, and then, you know, AT&T dividends, pretty good. They're right. It's pretty good. So when they sold that, it was about $14,000 worth of AT&T stock, and that's a nice little dividend quarterly or whatever. And I was like, okay, so this isn't going to work. So at that point, I was like, all right, I'm going to start looking for a job. So I was looking for a job for like 3 months. Like, I was like, it was like I was getting some job offers, but it was back in the financial services. And I was like, I'm not going back to investment financial services because I'm going to be back in square one for that. So financial services company, they're knocked out. Like, I even interviewed with Robinhood and stuff like that. And I pretty much told them, like, while I was leaving, I was like, it's kind of same thing here. I was like, cool.
Right.
I'm done. No point even just talking to them. And so after that had happened, at this point, I was like, man, I done went through probably 20 interviews, like, no exaggeration. And most of them, like, because of what I do, and like the level of access that I have to like all this stuff, it's like they don't want you dealing with it. So right. I'm like, I'm just gonna go the entrepreneur route. And then I came across to the company that I work at now, and I pretty much laid everything out on the table at the first beginning of the call. I didn't even want to waste my time. I'm like, this is where I'm looking for a new job. These are the things I'm involved with. Would you guys have a problem with that? And I was like, no, we actually encourage it. I was like, so yeah, it worked out. Gave me an amazing compensation package. Like, it's crazy. So so yeah, it was great. Like, it was definitely an amazing experience. They're working me right now. They're making me work for every penny they gave me.
That's cool.
It's worth it.
No, that's cool. What's up?
I was gonna say, like, before I go into my answer, I think the biggest takeaway from that story is that you had the option to leave and go be an entrepreneur. So you had this job, you had this 9-to-5, you're doing what you got to do. Options. But after all this stuff, you had that option. You weren't dependent on this one source of income. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of people with 9-to-5s fail at, because they're dependent on this one source of income, and now they have control over everything they do. And in your case, your job, they had control over what you was doing with your money, your investments, your business. So I think that's something a lot of people should take heed to. But for me personally, like, being in the military, I feel like they have a lot of control of your life. And when I knew it was the time for me to leave the military is when I knew I didn't have that flexibility to live how I wanted to live. Like, similar to your job, in a sense, is like, it's a lot of control. It's a lot of restrictions. You can't do this. You can't do that. I couldn't go see my family when I wanted to. I couldn't, you know, post or talk about certain things. And when you're in a point where you making so much money on the side, it's real hard to put up with certain things. Yeah. So for me personally, like, once I got to that point where I just didn't have the flexibility or the patience anymore to deal with other people trying to control my life, that's when I knew it was time for me to leave my 9-to-5.
Mm, that's
100%
a
bar. Agree with that one.
Yeah, that's
100% agree. When no one can really control you, or you don't have to rely on something, why am I going to deal with it?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the same thing when it comes to relationships. It's like, if I'm single and you're going to be giving me the headaches, I just
That's facts right there. But I want to say, because I forgot to say this in the beginning. So for everybody that's tuning into this right now, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, leave a like, leave a comment right now. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, do all those things, because we greatly, greatly appreciate it. And we trying to get our subscribers way up on our new YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So make sure y'all do that for us. Like I said, we greatly appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You know, we almost at 1,000, y'all. So help us get up there. We almost there. We just need 200 more subscribers. So definitely make sure you subscribe.
No. Y'all get it out this episode.
Talk your shit. And Tay, that's funny that the last topic we just talked about, you answered one of the questions that somebody proposed. They said, what do you do when you're 9-to-5? Is a conflict of interest of the business you're trying to start? And that's, you answered it perfectly. Yeah, I think we pretty much all, like, depending on your situation, like Deanna, I was in the military too. I started my business in 2018. I didn't get out till 2019. But for me, the military is so much different than a regular 9-to-5. I couldn't tell people. Like, I knew if I told people, it was going to be like that side. So I'm like, okay, cool. Well, military is contracts. Like, you got four-year contracts, 6-year contracts. So it's like, you don't have no choice but to come up with a decision when your contract is up. Mm-hmm. You can't be like, you know, you work 9-to-5, you could just go on and on and on, say 3 months from now, I'm going to quit, 6 months from now, and then just go on and on and on. And the military is like, contract is up, make a decision. What you doing? You leaving or you staying? So it's like, I already had it in my mind, like, I'm out anyway. Yep. So that's how it worked on my end. But this is something else I want to talk about, because I remember last time you was on, you talked about, we didn't go too deep on it. You talked about negotiating. You said how you always negotiate your contracts when you get a new gig. Mm-hmm. So, like, tactics, things like that, that the people may be listening to that may be going through something similar. Like, what's some of the strategies and tactics you use when negotiating with companies?
So, first off, always negotiate. And this may be controversial. Like, people may think differently, but it's really true. When it comes to, like, the gender pay gap, like, statistically speaking, men negotiate their salaries way more than women. Because the thing is, women, like, you know, it's kind of, like, salary negotiating is really intimidating, like, if you're not really used to it.
Right.
And, again, I'm trying to, you know, choose my word carefully. Women are more timid when it comes to, like, confrontation for stuff like that. And that's kind of like, I feel like that's one of the big reasons why there's, you know, a gender pay gap for that. But when it comes to tactics, what a lot of people don't really realize when it comes to market research, when it comes to their job, they just kind of go, like, first off, they're blindly applying to companies. They're not really, like...
You have no strategy.
Yeah, it's just like, I just want a job. Like, whoever hires me, whoever gives me a job, that's what I'm willing to take. Instead of actually going in and go research it and saying, okay, what is this position doing, like, in the market and other companies, what this particular position is doing, what are they normally responsible for, how much money they've been paid in this particular city, or, you know, what's the pay differences with that. And I used to tell people, like, if you have, like, you know, outside working in tech, I tell them to go on a Glassdoor or PayScale for the point is. And a lot of that information is outdated, just for the simple fact of a lot of those salaries are from years ago. And so as time go on, you know, like, pay increases and things like that. So now you have a salary from 2016 that's also average starting there with a salary that was from 2020 or 2021. So where the salary back then might have been like $50,000, now it's maybe like $65,000, $68,000. And they kind of average it in. And now it just looks like it's a low salary. And when people go on Glassdoor and they see that, that's what they ask for. And most of the time, they come up, okay, cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and there's been a couple of times where I've negotiated salaries and I've asked for something and they came back and gave me more. So in my head, I'm like, I screwed myself. Like, I should have asked for more money. Like, my thing is, I always say, like, especially when you're working in tech, I say shoot for the stars. Like, you know, shoot for the stars and land on the moon. Because the thing with tech, man, they're going to, like,
they got money.
They're going to give you the money. Because I know with me, like, for my base salary, like, I asked way more money. I knew they wasn't going to give it to me. Like, I knew, like, I specifically, I was like, I'm going to ask for this amount right here, and they're not going to get give it to me. But they did, the way they did it was, I asked for, like, a super high base salary, but my game plan was to get more stock. So, and like, I already knew, like, I wanted more stock versus the base salary. But if I got the nice base salary as well, too, then, hey, that's a plus. So with that, like, I pretty much used that tactic to gain more stock within that particular package deal. And the thing when it comes to negotiating, what people don't realize is really how you communicate it. Like, you know, if you're going to be negotiating a salary, you don't want to kind of come off as an asshole, or you don't want to come off seeming like you just arrogant and nothing like that. Right. You really want to, like, show them, like, hey, I really want this job, but after my market research and, like, the job offer I got right here, this is what they're offering me. You know, if you guys would be willing to match this, or if you guys would be able to give me this, then, you know, I'll be willing to sign here. Like, and then the thing about it is, you want to actually kind of back up. Like, because my thing, when I'm in interviews, I take notes of what they need, what they say. Because I always ask them,
smart.
I was like, yeah, I asked them, I was like, hey, what are you guys, like, looking for immediately? Like, what are you looking for this particular person to come in and do, like, right off the bat? Like, what do you guys want to be done? Like, what are you missing on this team, technically and soft skill wise? And once they tell me that, I'm like, gotcha. Yeah, like, I'm writing that down.
That's smart as hell.
This is what I'm doing. And then I tie back to my previous experiences and stuff like that. And one of the biggest thing with this company right here, like, I had, like, I got a big skill set within Splunk and automation, automating Splunk queries and things like that. And they're actually, that's what they're doing. Like, they're installing the entire completely new SOAR, basically just automating tasks, alerts, and things like that. So they wanted to implement and build that out. And I was like, oh, I have experience with that. And I've done this here, here, and here. And so it was like, okay, like when I'm thinking about the salary, I'm thinking long-term wise, like I understand this is what I'm going to be tasked with now, but in the future, we're going to grow as a company and we're going to be doing this thing. So I'm also trying to think about what I'm going to be doing in the future as well too, and not just like right now for the time being. Because when it comes to security, because like their security program is like fairly new. Like I'm pretty much building it out. Like it, like I'm pretty much like start from scratch and pretty much implement everything. And with me doing that, that's a lot of work. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, if I'm going to be doing that, I need to be compensated well for it. And so, you know, it's really, and that's the thing when people go into interviews, they don't ask them questions. They don't probe them questions. Because the thing is, like, you're actually interviewing them too. Like, it's not just like a one-way street. You actually want to see what's going on. Like, you want to see why the person here had left. Right. You want to see, like, what was their skill set like? Like, what's the reason for them leaving? Like, did he get fired? Did he leave to a different company? Like, what was the reason for you guys to have this position open? And people don't tend to ask questions like that. They just like, oh, yeah, I know you're having the questions. What's the typical day in the life as, you know, what you guys do here? What's the day-to-day up?
Because people don't know. People don't know, like, because yeah. You just gave a whole bunch of game. I don't think people know, especially when you're young and you got a job. You don't know, like, because they probably don't have that many experience with dealing too many jobs. And they probably don't have the confidence to be like, they probably thinking in their head, like, they just going to say effing and hire somebody else. So yeah. I don't want to be too, come off as too needy mm-hmm. when I'm getting the job.
Nah, man, you want to ask as many questions as you can. Because the thing is, you got to think about it, like, this is an investment in yourself and the company. It's an investment of time on your part, on their part too, and the money you're going to be receiving from that. They want to make sure you get a nice ROI on their investment. You're their investment. I mean, if you look at it too, they're your investment too if you use it the right way. Because me personally, I use all the resources, all the training that I can get to hone my skills and be better technically for the next company. So, and people don't really look at it like that. They just look at it, oh, it's a job that's paying me. No, you need to go in there, learn what you need. And me personally, I don't really stay at a job more than a year and a half, 2 years. Because my thing at that point, I've already, like, I'm stagnant at that point. Like, tech, it moves so fast. And if I'm staying in the same position, the same spot, at this point, I'm just doing repetitive tasks. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just doing the same thing. I'm just getting more familiar within our network and things like that. So in the tech industry, it's really not frowned upon to actually
job hop.
Yeah.
Yeah, job hop.
I remember my first job going into my first full-time job, my manager, she told me, she was like, if none of my analysts or none of my engineers haven't left the company within 18 to 24 months, I'm not doing my job correctly.
Because they're supposed to be gone.
Yeah, and I was like, ah, that makes sense. Like, when she said that, I was like, oh, I don't feel bad anymore for leaving.
That makes perfect sense. But I want to talk about this real quick, because you talked about it. I think this is a very important topic. When you talk about stocks that your company may offer you to pay. So the reason this is important, because I don't remember where I heard this, or maybe I had this conversation with somebody. I think I had a conversation with somebody, and they were saying they worked at Walmart, and they were offered stocks. Shout out to my bro Henry Washington. We got to bring. We was at dinner. Me, Tay, Henry, about Eugene, and another guy. I can't remember his name. But he said he worked at Walmart and he was offered stocks and he took them. I think he said he sold them,
yeah,
right?
He was selling them, yeah.
And I'm like, wow. He was saying how much it would be worth today if he still had them today. And I'm like, wow, I can't imagine how many other young people out here that may not even be taking them. They just want that money. Like, why the hell would I just take this stock? Ain't nothing I could do with that right now. So talk about, like, why did you take the stock instead of just taking all cash? And how did you even value that this stock could be worth something in the future?
Yeah, so with me, because remember, we talked about this like a few months back when I was actually looking for a job. I was basically saying, like, wherever company I go, I got to get stock. Like, no matter where I go, it got to be some type of tech company, some type of startup that's going to give me stock. Because the thing is, especially like right now, the stock market is kind of like down.
Yep.
So at the price I'm going to get the stock and things like that, it's down. And so me, like, I really did my research on this company, the industry that they're in. And even, like, with COVID, like, COVID going on, they still an $8.5 billion company. And their stock, great. Like, I think their stock, I got it at, like, $50. And I think the day that they IPO'd, it went to, like, $90. And so I was like, I've doubled my stocks just off, you know, saying, hey, I want stocks for this. And so my thing is, and don't get me wrong, like, when it comes to stocks for a certain company, I wouldn't just take stock in any company because some companies just like real like shit companies. I wouldn't do it. But I had really did my research. I really seen like the future for the industry and all of that. So I was like, yeah, this is gonna be it. This is gonna be the one. Like, cause I always said like I was like I'm gonna use my stock. That's gonna be the stock that buy my dream home, like not cash or anything like that. But you know, I can be able to have that and say, hey, this is kind of what bought my house, or this is what bought whatever I want. And that was always kind of my goal with that. And with me, I don't really plan on selling. Like my stock right now, I don't really plan on selling. Like honestly, like all of my stock, my 401k portfolios. You said you don't? Yeah, I don't really plan on selling. Like my cash flow from like other investment and things like that, that's what I use for my everyday living. Like I really genuinely, like I've already said, like my 401k is gonna be for my kids. Like I have no plans of using a 401k for retirement. That's gonna be something to get passed down to my kids. Even my stock portfolio, to be honest, I like now I've gotten to the point where I don't really go to the banks to get loans from the bank when I'm doing certain investment deals and stuff like that. I just borrow money from my 401k or my stock portfolio.
Pause. Don't go too fast now. We gotta talk about that. And you're right on point because that was literally the next topic I wanted to go to, talking about using your 401k at your 9-to-5.
Yeah.
So what you just said, talk about how are you doing it?
All right. So this kind of goes back to me saying why I would never leave my 401k. I mean, I said why I would never leave my 9-to-5. So with my job, I get the 60% match up to 60% of my salary. So let's just say I make $100,000 per year and I put in $6,000 per year. My company is going to give me a free $6,000. Okay. So off top, I got 100% return on my money. So that's $12,000. So, like, what people don't realize, like, people always say 401 scams, 401ks, mm-hmm. like, you really can't do anything with them until you're 59, 60 years old. And I'm like, that's what they want you to think. Like, if you actually kind of look into it and actually do a little bit of research, you can actually borrow money from your 401k and pay yourself back interest. So, I actually did this to buy my first real estate property.
Uh-oh.
I used my 401k. I borrowed the money against my 401k to purchase it. And I was just paying myself back interest. And the thing about it is, it pretty much deducts from your payroll. So, it deducts from your check. So, it's not even you coming out of pocket to pay it. It's paid automatically through your checks and things like that. But when you do leave the company, you have to pay it back in full. That is the drawback of it. But if you know at a company or something like that, and luckily, you know, at the company that I was at the time, I was laid off, I had the money to pay it back.
Right.
But the thing is, I paid back myself interest. So I just paid myself back more money. So it wasn't really, you know, too bad or anything like that. But yeah, like you basically playing bank with yourself when you have your 401k. Like I wouldn't just say use it for it. Everything, because some investments are a little bit more riskier than other ones. But if you believe in it and you feel like it's going to be something, then I would definitely use it. Because I use this out of my 401k to invest. Like I don't even use my money. I use straight stock portfolio money and 401k money to fund most of my investments.
That's a gem. I think simply because a lot of people, I don't think they're aware of that. Every time people have the conversation of 401k, they always talk about it from like, oh man, I gotta wait till I'm 65 to pull this money out. Mm-hmm. Like, man, and that's why they think like it's a scam. But from the way you doing it and you using it, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Using your 401k at 24 years old to buy a house, an investment property. Like, come on now. But doing it at 23 and using it to make you money, that's probably going to make you more money.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And the thing about it is, like, the cash flow that you have with it, you can just add extra money to your 401k to kind of quickly pay off the loan. So.
Damn.
Yeah. So you building up the wealth. You're paying yourself back interest. But it's really three investments in one.
It is. When you think about it.
So it's really hard to beat that. And the interest rates be like 3%. Like 3%, I think.
And this is why, in my opinion, I think it's so beneficial for a lot of people to stay with their job until they have things figured out. Because I know there are still benefits that I didn't use that I should have used. And I didn't realize it until after I left. Mm-hmm. I remember, I think I talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I tried to get a loan for a property after I left my job. in the bank, they want to see 2 years worth of business income. Mm-hmm. And I was only in business. I don't even think it was a year at that point. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I couldn't show them, and I didn't have the job to show them the income. So they looking at me like, you ain't making no money. But I was making money. I just didn't, it didn't hit that 2 year threshold, so I couldn't show it. So they couldn't even give me the money. Yeah. So it's like, if I knew that before I left, I would have strategized it better to just use all my benefits while I got this job so I could set myself up so when I get out.
Yeah, nah, that's kind of what happened with my McLaren, too. So because normally when I buy cars, I had just bought a Tesla using the same bank. And normally whenever I buy cars, I don't ask for nothing. They just check the credit, put in. They don't really verify your money, and it just goes straight through. And so this time when I did it, so actually I went to Chase first. Chase denied me, and they asked me why. They was like, hey, like if you're willing to put $100,000 down, then we'll give you a loan. I was like,
what?
I'm not putting no $100,000 on no car.
Yeah, they crazy.
Let me go. So I went to Navy Fed. I don't know why I didn't go to Navy Fed in the first place anyways. So I went to Navy Federal. I asked, asked for the loan, and I think I had asked for like $125,000, $130,000, because I knew I was going to put money down. Like cars like that, you're going to put money down.
Yep.
And so that was like, we can give you $98,000, but before that, we need your taxes from last year. We need your profit and loss statement. We need your bank account statements. We need, what else? Profit loss. It was something else that I asked for. And I was like, man, like, they never asked me for this. And also, my pay stubs for my job. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I sent them my pay stubs. I sent them my bank account, my business bank accounts, because I knew that's where most of my money was going at. And so with that, I have like a lot of wires and stuff going through there. So I had used that. That was like, yeah, we can't use that because some of this don't kind of match up with from your Stripe accounts and things like that. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Like that was like, it was a big threshold from a threshold increase from your income from your business from last year to this year. And it's on like 5 months within a year. Cause like, I think last year, like so far I've like tripled my business income since last year. And so that was too quick. Like it was like a real quick, like it's inconsistent, I guess, from a bank standard. It don't seem like, what's the word I'm looking for? Consistent, I guess. Like,
I guess that's what, yeah.
Yeah, I guess consistent. Yeah. Like from like last year and stuff like that. Like how long are you gonna like be able to like withstand that? Yeah, consistently bring in this much money a month. So I was like, okay, here's my pay stubs, here's my offer letter, here's all this information. And they came back, that was like, great, you're approved. And I was talking to the lady and she was telling me, she was like, your 9-to-5 income, the income from job is what really helps you get this, because we've seen like a long track record of you making this amount of money over the last couple of years. And I was like, oh, that's good. So that really, like, man, they probably asked for more documentation in my house. it was like the 9-to-5 really helped me with that. And when I tell people that, they're like, oh, yeah, your business is not going to be sustainable or anything like that. I'm like, well, if you know banks, like they see like a high growth in a business or something like that, then it's automatically going to be like, how consistent can that be? Like, we don't know how long you can keep that on or how long this is actually going to be bringing in this much money. So that's why I had looked at it. I wasn't really tripping on it.
No, I love that, man. And something like you talking about the McLaren, and this is something I want to talk about, because a lot of times when people look at luxury things, they look at it strictly from a liability standpoint. It's like, man, it costs too much money, spends too much money. Why would I get all those liabilities? But the older I get, the more I'm realizing that these things become truly an asset, not just for money, for network. Yeah. It's been times, literally, me and Tay was out. He got on a Rolex. We met a guy that builds skyscrapers. Just because he got on a Rolex, he noticed Tay's Rolex. He said, hey, man, that's a nice watch. Next thing you know, it's a conversation starter. We having a whole conversation. What you do? What y'all do? Let's exchange contact. So people, I feel like people got to obviously do these things if you can afford them. If you can't afford it, don't go out buying no Rolex. Don't go out get no McLarens, because you ain't there at your wage, as they say.
Yeah.
But if you can do these things, I feel like stop looking at everything from just a expense standpoint. Like certain things is going to put you on a certain caliber of attention level, especially if you're trying to build a brand. And when it comes to building brands, attention is everything. So open yourself up to spend a little money You know what I'm saying? Do it, like I said, do it right. Don't get out here, do it recklessly.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I've been seeing it. I've been living in Dallas for 7 months. I can't tell you how many experiences I done had just from people seeing certain things and we have a conversation. So I just want to say that. You know firsthand.
Nah, yeah, man. This that's been crazy. And thing about the McLaren is that's a write-off too. Because I got my business and stuff on there, so it's a write-off.
You're going too fast again. So break that down. Like, you got a supercar McLaren. Like, how is that a write-off? How was you making that a write-off?
So I'm actually leasing, like, so I got it under my name, but I leased it out to my company for the most part. So I got the all the paperwork and stuff like that, and I paid through my business account. So I paid like the insurance, the all their the car note and all everything with that. I paid through my business account, and I had me with my accountant and things like that. And she's like, oh yeah, that'd be a write-off. Some fact I have my Instagram, so it's advertisement as well on there too. So it's like an advertisement, and I'm also doing it for, you know, business expenses. That's exactly pretty much what it is. And so with that, I've actually, like, since I've gotten that car, I've just off business alone, just having a car, like, I've made enough money to, like, pay the car off, like, for real.
I already know.
You be with me, like, it's crazy. Like, because I had, as soon as I got that car, like, the first thing I'm gonna do, I'm gonna go to a car meet. And so I had went to this car meet, and it's this guy, he had an IT company, and he was asking me, he was like, oh, Tay on Tech. He was like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm assuming you work in the tech industry. I was like, yeah, you know, I kind of showed him like what I do. I showed him my Twitter. At this time, this was my TikTok store blowing up. And I showed him my Instagram. He was like, oh, his name was like, our social media presence suck. Like, you know, you think you can help me out with that? So we actually started helping out with that. And me personally, I'm not even like a social media type of, like, well, I am a social media type of person, but digital marketing, things like that, I don't actually offer that as a service. But because, like, he's seen the car, and he's seen, like, what my social media look like and what I do on my social media, he was like, oh, I want to work with you to do this, do that. And so I've been working with him for, like, 3 months now doing that. And that's an income, stream of income that I probably even talk about. Because it just, like, it happened because I went to a car meet. Like, I've met so many people just, like, off that car. Like, I know when I first got it, like, now, and this is the thing what people don't really realize. Like, the reason why I put my social media on there, I mean, I'm pretty sure y'all probably do realize and stuff like that. So my thing is, you see somebody in the type of car like that, who is this person? I want to know what they do. Mm-hmm. So they go to my website. 9 times out of 10, they always post my car on Instagram, Twitter, and they tag me. And so when they tag me, their followers see it, their followers come to me. And so it's like a trickling effect of the amount of people that come see my actual products, actually see the services, and actually see like the things that I talk about. And at the end of the day, can probably potentially bring even more brand deals because my audience is starting to broaden out a little bit more. And so that's kind of the rock. Because I know a lot of people's like, well, I don't do that. I'm like, well, I'm pretty much only buying the car to make more money.
Exactly.
Like, isn't this, well, I mean, it's not really expensive. At this point, it's an asset at this point.
It's making
and,
money.
And it's making me money. Yeah. And, like, it's crazy.
but that's brilliant. Like, putting your at on your car. Because that leads me to another topic. That's promotion. Every time you drive, that's promotion. Every time you go out, people seeing the car. And a lot of times what people do, when I talk to me and Deanna, we have this conversation, is like a lot of people, they don't promote their things enough. Like they try to be like a little bit too humble. Like, I don't want to, am I promoting too much? They'll come out with a course, a book, or a product, or any kind of service, put it on Instagram or Twitter one time, and they don't do it. They're not getting no sales, and they wondering like, why I'm not getting no sales? Why I'm not getting no results? Because you're not promoting enough. Like, if you watch television, anybody that watch television, you see the same commercials every day for about months straight. You be like, damn, I'm tired of this commercial. It gets to a point you know about heart. The song come on, you get to sing the song. Because you see, it's ingrained. You see it every day. And because they know they need to promote every day. So if they know that, and these are major corporations, why do you think your small business can post one time, tweet one time, and you're going to get some results? Like, they promoting every day. Your ass supposed to be promoting every day.
I 100% agree with that. And that's exactly how I was. Because I felt like I didn't want to be that course selling guru guy and nothing like that. But then I realized, I actually promote on my page without realizing I promote. Like, my lifestyle, the things I talk about. Like, it's not me directly promoting it. But, you know, when I talk about something, I'll probably link it up on there. Oh, hey, go check this out or something like that. Because at the end of the day, the things that I talk about, it's really my lifestyle. It's not like me going to go rent this car or go rent this condo and sell this lifestyle. It's like, hey, you guys, you want to live like this, then do this. Like, that's really how I live.
Right, right.
And people, you know, for the longest, like, people didn't really kind of get that with me. Like, you know, people that know me, they know, like, what I talk about on my social media is, like, really what I really do in real life. And now, but it's got to the point on social media where people don't even try to like come towards me with, oh, you capping and like that. Like, no one's going to come to me like that, because at the end of the day, they know I have too much respect, I guess, on Twitter. No. And Twitter's a tough crowd. Twitter's a tough crowd.
I was talking about this earlier. In my opinion, it's the toughest to build an audience on, because it's not people, they'll call you out. If it's wrong information, they'll say, hey, this is wrong. They'll go in the comments and flood you and say, Instagram, usually if you post something, nobody ain't really going to tell you like you wrong publicly. They're going to put fire emojis.
Yeah.
Oh, they ain't going to call you out and correct you if you're doing some bullshit.
Twitter, you say something, it ain't gonna ride out
like that. But
and I ain't got called out yet, so everything I'm saying is true.
This conversation, I love this conversation so much, because like I said, we're in the era right now where everything is, people don't talk about building wealth from your job. Like, they don't talk about how it's possible for you to get rich and become wealthy just from your job. Like, it's not going to happen overnight, but people got to stop expecting and wanting things to happen overnight.
Yeah, man.
And it's like, even in your field, you're in tech, I think even if you're not in it, because I feel this way. I feel like if I stay in the military, I had this conversation before. I feel like I still would have became rich just because I kept my expenses so low and I was investing so much. You know what I'm saying? I was investing and saving and I kept my expenses low. So I know over time, before I left, I had money. So I knew if I stayed and did 20 years, it would have been crazy.
Yeah.
So I know, like, you don't have to get a super high-paying job or become, like, some big business person to become wealthy. Obviously, it's going to take time. It's not going to happen in a two-year span if you just stay at your 9-to-5. You're not making a lot.
Yeah, but it can happen. Yeah, I seen a crazy stat. I never fact-checked it, so I don't know if it's true or not. But that was saying, like, 33% of millionaires never made over six figures.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I can believe that. Because most people... From the stats that I read, most people don't become millionaires until they're like, most millionaires don't become millionaires until they're like 51 or something like that, like in their 50s. And if you had a job, let's say you started at 22, 23, and you been saving and investing.
Yeah.
That sounds about 30 years of investing and saving. Sounds about right. To hit your first million. So I could definitely see that.
I saw that. I was like, crazy. I lied. So I need to be about 50 mil by that time.
I got two questions for you. So the first one I want you to get into is the topic of lifestyle creep. So if you don't know what lifestyle creep is, it's pretty much the act of raising your expenses as you raise your income. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of young people, like, we fall victim to it. You know, right. You get that little pay raise. Now you got to go buy the new car. Mm-hmm. Now you got to get the brand new apartment. You got to get the designer stuff. And it just keep coming at you and it never stops. And at a point, it's like you never even got a pay raise because you increase your expenses. And it's like, whereas you don't get the, you never see the extra money. So for you, did you ever experience lifestyle creep? And if not, how did you combat it, like, you know, avoid falling victim to it?
That's a great question.
Man, I was a huge victim of lifestyle creep.
That's real though.
So yeah, no. That's so real. This, like, cause me, like, I came out of college making six figures. So I came from paying $700 for rent and $300 for a car note. And so it's like, now my expenses are $1,000 per month. And I'm making $8,000 a year, I think. Something like that. Something close to that. To making $8,000 a year if I only have $1,000 expenses. Man, I went crazy. I still had a semester left before I was finna graduate, before I got my job. I had already resigned my lease for, like, having my roommates and stuff at, like, this townhouse. It was, like, student living. So I had already signed my lease there for August, and I got that job. I kid you not, bro. I didn't get my first paycheck, and I broke my lease and got a apartment downtown Dallas.
You turned up quick.
Man, I turned up quick. Like, I kid you not. Like, I hadn't even got my first paycheck, and I was like, I'm gone. So I had to pay somebody to get my lease. I paid first month rent for them. I mean, in college too, I saved money as well too. So it wasn't just like, oh, you know. So I was always good at saving money. So I did that. And my Challenger, I had $4,000 left on my Challenger. $4,000. I had traded in, got a BMW. Traded in, got a BMW. My car note now $650 a month. And my insurance, because I have speeding tickets, it was like $250. So, and then I started going out way more than I used to go. I'm just buying stuff. I'm buying red bottoms. I'm buying, man, I spent $800 on a belt. I was looking at this. I was like, I would never, like, bro, to this day, I was like, I never in my life, bro, I was wild. I remember it was an $800 Louis Vuitton belt. And I was like, dude, like, now looking back, I'm like, that's like the dumbest. Mm-hmm. That was so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, man, I was going like to every time I got paid, I was in like the Christian Louis Vuitton store going to go buy shoes. Like, I was, bro. I was, because I didn't have no expenses. Like, this is the first time I experienced this type of money.
Right.
And so, I was really living, like, paycheck to paycheck, but it didn't really seem like it because I had so much money coming in. It's like, you know, cool. Like, I don't really realize I'm still saving money, but I'm not saving nowhere near as much as I could. And so, one day, I was just sitting back. I was looking at my bank account, and I think it was, like, maybe $3,000 in there. And I was like, dude, like,
what the fuck I'm
what
doing?
The fuck are you doing? Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, you can pay six figures a year, and it's like 6 months into it. I mean, I have money in my savings account, but it's like you got $3,000 in your checking account. What are you doing with your money? And so I just go back. I download all my statements. I create, like, I think I spent like 5 hours just kind of sifting through like my spending through like the last 6 months, and I was like, all of my money is going out to me buying shoes. Buying designer for whatever reason. I don't even go, like, at this point, I don't even go out that much. Like, I don't even really care. So it's like, why would I really buy this stuff? I don't even care for this stuff. So I'm buying this stuff. I'm just like, cut all expenses out. So like, I went like MIA for like 3 to 6 months, and like, my bank account started looking way better. I started investing way, like, it just became so much better. Like, I got like a comfort level where I'm like, okay, now I can start back going back out. I can start back having fun with my friends, start doing things right. Like that. I just had to step away and do a reality check. Like, Tay, you're way smarter than this when it comes to your money. Like, what are you, like, this not even you. Like, what are you doing? And at that point, and it's also like with your friends too, like your circle and stuff like that. Like, cause they say like you're the average of your friends. And you know, if my friends are going out, they're spending money, they're doing this, I'm going to be doing the same thing. I'm not really going to be doing anything to try to make any more money. And that's the thing. I always felt like, you know, like, oh, okay, like, you know, they're doing it, so it ain't gonna hurt if I do it. But now I gotta realize, now I'm becoming the average of everybody else. Like, I'm not here to be average. I'm not really here to do these particular things. Like, I have a better outlook on my life. I'm not saying that they don't either, but it's just saying like, I know like what I'm really capable of if I put my mind to it and actually kind of focus and sit there and do that. And so now, like, I just really like. I'm not fiscally responsible. I'm not going to say cheap. I've started becoming fiscally responsible over the couple of years. And like, this year is really the first year where I'm really just kind of starting to enjoy my money. But it's like, at this point, I've really kind of built everything. Like, all of my investment pay for like my fun. Like, my investments pay for my cars. Like, my investment pays for like my watches. My investment, like, I don't touch my 9-to-5 money at all. Like, my investment pay for all my liabilities or whatever assets, liabilities and stuff like
that.
That's
how you do it.
And so, yeah, man, it's just like now, like, even like, no, like, we go out and stuff like that. Like, people just be looking at us. I'm like, bro, we have like a hoodie and some sweats on. I'm just like, what? Like, I'm not here to impress none of y'all. Like, that's y'all. Like, I'm just here. I'm coming to get my wings.
No, that's facts. When we be going out, we be like, 9 times out of 10, we be the most basic dressed people where we at, for real. Sometimes, you know,
they don't play.
Usually they'll jump out in the Prada and the red box in
like
the heartbeat.
Like, don't
that's just been a little bit lately. That's been a little bit lately. But I want to switch gears for a second.
Let me go into the sponsor.
Okay, my bad.
But yeah, so this episode is sponsored by the Keys to Podcasting course. If you guys don't know, we are releasing the course on August 1st, but it is on pre-sale right now for $249.99. So with this course, we're going to pretty much give you guys a game on how to get started in podcasting, the fundamentals, how to find your niche, building a loyal audience base, effective marketing strategies, how to make money in podcasting, right. How to interview people, and all that good stuff. So make sure you go to www.thekeystopodcasting.com. Go ahead and pre-order it and get ready for the release on August 1st.
Exactly. And we're going over everything. Like, I literally got 2 DMs today with 2 guys DM me. They're like, hey, man, how did you build your podcast that fast? And I'm like, course coming out August 1st. If y'all really want to know. Go get the course. But going, I want to go back talk about depression and mental health, because I know this is something that you've been talking about recently.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I think is a very crucial topic for anybody in the world, whether you're in business or not in business. This affects everybody. So, like, how are you able to, because you became, what, a millionaire at 24? You're making your first
24.
And making a million net this year. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you able to do all those things while battling all the battling those battles?
Okay. For me, I still actually deal with it. I just, like, now I can deal with it, like, completely better, because I pretty much went through, like, the worst of feeling when it comes to depression. I've been dealing with it probably since I was, like, 18. Well, probably longer, but I just didn't really realize it until, like, around, like, 18, 19. And that's when, like, you know, the, oh, yeah, you know, you have depression. I was like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. But I ain't never really looked, you know, like, in the black community and stuff like that, it's real taboo.
Yeah, it's kind of talk about it.
Stuff like that. But just like even now, like I say, I still deal with it, but it's like I journal a lot. Like I really like me journaling was really like a really big thing for me, because like I really never had like anyone to kind of vent to. Or I'm not gonna say I never had anyone to vent to, but as a dude, as a man,
exactly.
It's like you don't want to vent towards certain people and things like that. Because I know like at the time I was in a relationship. And like she used to always be on me, like, why you like talk to me? And I'm like, I can't talk to you. Like you my girl. Like you know what I mean? Like I feel like you're gonna look at me a little differently and stuff like that. And so at the time, my uncle was in prison, or whatever. Like he was really like the only person like I just talked to for the most part. Like I had finally started saying, you know what? I'm gonna open up, talk about my depression. Actually, you know, this is before I even like decided going to therapy and things like that. So he was pretty much, I guess, kind of like my therapist, because, I mean, as a dude, like, you know, he kind of went through some of the similar things. Like, he's in prison right now. So, you know, there's a little depression there because, you know, you're isolated from your family and stuff like that. And so, like, me and him used to talk every day. And then this around the time, like, I'm starting to kind of make a little bit of money and things like that. So I'm like, you know, put money on your books. I'm going to do this. I have, you know, I'm like, you my person at this point and stuff like that. Because me and him never really had built a relationship because he was always in our jail. And things like that. So when I finally opened up to him, I think like 3 weeks later, like I was, this one I was working as a contractor for Southwest Airlines, and I used to work overnight during the weekends for while I was in school. And so my mom called me while I was leaving work. She was like, what you doing? I'm on my way to work, you know, I'm on my way home, whatever. She's like, all right, call me when you get home. I'm like, me, I'm not thinking of that. I'm like, all right, cool. So I get home, my girlfriend there. Like, what the fuck going on? Like, why? I'm thinking I'm gonna get surprised or something like that. Okay, cool. So I go upstairs and stuff like that. She's like, you talk to your mama? I was like, no. I mean, I was like, I talked to her earlier. Like, wow, what's up? She's like, call your mama. I was like, okay, I'm gonna call my mama. I was like, yeah, what's up? They told me to call you. Oh, I was like, she told me to call you. Like, what's up? She's like, yeah, your uncle got killed last night. And I was like, what? Like, I was like, no, I was like, you sure? I was like, I just talked to him. Like, I talked to him last night, like, legit. And then when I was talking to him, the way he was talking, it was just like, you know, I'm real proud of you. Like, you know, you've been doing everything. It's like almost like he knew something was going to go down. Like, I'm not really sure. But it was just like the way, you know how, like, when somebody talked to the last point, it's like, they kind of, it's like a real, like, heart-to-heart conversation. And, you know, me, I was like, you know what I mean? Like, you, whatever. And so at that point, it's like, dang, like when I finally started trying to open up to somebody, it get taken away from me. And so at that point, like I had hit like this real super, super depressed like moment. Like I even like got to, I went as far as like, I tried to commit suicide, overdose and stuff like that. And so it was just like, I just went, and then think about it at the time too, this one I was also running track and I had an injury and like colleges, they kind of like pull scholarships. Like, we don't know how you're going to perform like with that type of injury. So it's like, how I'm gonna pay for school, how I'm gonna do this. Like, it just really, like, everything was just like, damn, like, everything hit me at one time. Like, you know, like, you know, emotional wise, like, financially wise, like, everything just really hit me. And I'm just like, why is this always happening to me? Like, So, no, I kind of did that. I had dealt with that for a little bit. And, like, I just have, like, these random, like, dark moments. It's, like, when you just kind of around yourself all the time and you just have, like, these random thoughts and stuff like that. And it was just, like, man, like, I got to find a way to, like, get out this slump and stuff like that. So I decided to go to therapy. And I started going to therapy. And it helped me so much. Like, it was, like, you know how sometimes, like, you say something don't bother you and it really bothers you. And I realized, like, oh, it's like, it really bothers me. And I know one thing, the biggest thing that that really kind of hurt me while I was, like, kind of in the hospital and stuff like that over the overdose was, at the time, my mom was in Mississippi, and my dad was out here. And so my mom had called my dad and was like, hey, like, Tay in the hospital, this happened. And he was like, oh, I'm busy right now. When I get free or whatever, and then I go see him. And I was like, when she told me that, I was like, what? Like, all right, cool, bet. So after that had happened, like, I just completely stopped talking to him. I don't do nothing. Like, he really can't hit me up about nothing. And so the thing about it, even after that happened, he never called me, checked on me, or nothing like that. And so at that time, I was like, at this point, I really don't care. And so I was like, but in reality, it really did. Like, you know, as a man, you're not really going to admit that. But as my therapist session and stuff like that, I realized there really was something that really bothered me. And as I went on, like, even today, like, I don't have a problem with him, but it's just like at this point in my life, got nothing to say to you for the most part. And so that was like one of the things that I kind of battled for like a long time. But then at the point, just like, it ain't even worth my point or worth my time to even just kind of focus on it. I'm just going to like focus on me, do me. And like a lot of my success, or at the beginning, my success was more so just like, you know, like I'm approved, like I need you in my life to get to where I need to be at. And yeah, so that's kind of like what fueled my success for like the longest. And then it got to a point where it was like I was running out of fuel because like I'm already there. I need something else to fuel me. So at that point, it was just like helping other people and giving and stuff like that. So that's kind of like what fuels me now, is because it's like a lot of stuff that I do in the backseat that I don't put on social media. I don't do anything like that. And I really just don't care to do it because it's like, if I'm doing it to put it on social media, like how much do I really, you know, how much do I really meanly or honestly want to do it? And so like me kind of giving back and stuff like that, it really kind of like makes me feel, I mean, that sounds kind of bad, but it's not like it, like me giving back and stuff like that. It makes me feel better.
You feel better.
Yeah. So.
Man. Wow. No, that's truly inspirational, man, for real, to go through all that and still like come out like successful, because that's, you got a lot of people in the world that's struggling with those things. So I know that's going to be inspiration for them, because they can, because you will talk to people and they say, man, I can't do this because I'm battling depression right now. I can't move out. I can't get a job, or I'm not inspired. So I think you kind of gave a lot of people a blueprint on how to deal with those things. Because like I said, you deal with all those things and still became a millionaire at 24 years old. No silver spoons, no nothing. Not saying money is the end all or be all, but just saying like, if all that you went through and you could still come out on top somewhat, especially being able to take care of yourself like you do, that's impressive. And that's like, that's admirable for real. That's a lot to deal with. And a lot of people struggle with that stuff. And even mentioning like therapy is, like you said, it's kind of taboo, specifically in the Black community. So like, we definitely advise people to go do it. Like, shout out to my boy B. Yeah. And this ain't no ad. He ain't paid me to say this. This ain't no ad or no sponsor, but he has the Military Therapy app, and it's free therapy group sessions for anybody that download the app to make an appointment with. So I'll definitely tell y'all to check it out. It's available on, I know it's on iOS.
I don't think it's
not on Android yet, but definitely it's called Military Therapy, like free therapy sessions.
And you can journal in there too.
Yeah, you can journal. Yeah,
you can journal in there.
That's a great way to wrap it up for real, man. Like, we touched on this was a dope ass episode. We touched on a lot of good topics for real. But before we let you go, bro, I just want to say you already know how much D and I appreciate you, man. We know we locked in. We together all the time, pretty much. But before we let you go, you mind plugging all your stuff where people can find you, follow you, buy your course, everything.
Yeah. All right. So all of my social media is Tayon Tech, T A Y O N T C H. You can pretty much TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Mostly post all the free game on Twitter for the most part. On TikTok now, I'm kind of starting to do like the little informational videos, stuff like that, little funny videos, whatever you want to call it. And now I'm starting to do it on Instagram as well, too. For my blogs, you can go to www.tayontech.io. That's where I have like all of my blogs for when it's coming to like the tech industry. Just helpful things to help you actually get into the industry. I have a lot of free resources on there, as well as my Twitter. And if you're interested in my Get Me in Tech program, you can go to getmeintech.com, So basically with the cybersecurity program, it's pretty much teaching you how to, well, it's teaching you the skills and everything you need to be become an entry-level cybersecurity analyst, as well as we teach you how to interview. You get a free resume out of it, and you also, you know, learn like the secrets of interviewing within the tech industry, as well as learn how to negotiate your salary. And right now it's at 197 until I finish my revamp. My revamp should be done within the next 3 months, and that revamp is going to be crazy.
Yeah, so I've seen you working on it. That's going
to
be crazy.
I actually hired a course auditor to come in and do it. And she's really focusing on like the psychology of the learning of it. And it's so dope. Like, she pretty much kind of came up with like a form analysis of like the audience towards like the people that that my content is really geared towards too. So she pretty much have like a complete profile, and we customize the content to where they would actually enjoy it. Because when it comes to like a lot of tech courses and stuff like that, it's boring.
It's boring.
Like, it's so boring. Yeah. And so the way we're going to be doing it this go around, it's like we're really going to make it like you're going to have like GIFs in there, or GIFs. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I'd say GIFs.
So yeah, you're going to have like GIFs, the funny video. It's really going to be like entertaining. Like, it's, and the reason why I kind of went that route of like really trying to make it entertaining, because I'm trying to license out to high schools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So next time I'm on a podcast, I'm probably going to be talking about me licensing the course out to these schools and stuff.
Oh man. I know for a fact it's going to happen, because I've been seeing you working on it, so I know you're going to make it happen. And Deanna, what about you? What you got before we wrap up?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Deanna Kent, Twitter, Deanna S. Kent, and make sure you guys follow me on YouTube at Lessons in Life and Luxury.
Great. And you can find me and follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Xavier C. Miller, and my own personal YouTube channel at Xavier Miller. And that's all we have for you guys. This is another episode of Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.